Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm going to need your interaction tonight. If somebody has it, go ahead and read it, please. Anybody that has a loud voice, stand up and read it.
Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Amen. What translation is that? New Living. Okay, anybody else have a different translation? Brother Ever.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and
discipline. Amen. Brother Kenny, give me the King James. That's it. Let's go. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools. Someone say fools.
Fools.
Look at the person next to you and say, don't be a fool.
Fools.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is what this word means. Because here the Bible, you know, when people talk about fear, you know, fear can be looked at in a bunch of different ways. In growing up, I didn't grow up in church. I grew up, some of you know, some of you may not know, I grew up with a Catholic background. And in my house, my view of God and what I was taught, they would tell me that God is going to punish you for talking back. Come on, somebody. God is going to punish you for everything I did. God's going to punish you, they would tell me. So growing up, I had a view of God, and I was afraid of God, right? Didn't go to church, but every time I passed the church, come on, somebody, right? But I want to look at what does this mean, and let me tell you why I want to talk about this. I have a fear that our church has lost respect and reverence for the Lord. Maybe not just our church, but maybe it's our generation. And this is some foundational truth here because the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, what does that mean? Because when I think of fear, I think of feelings of, like when you think of the word fear, what comes to your mind? Anybody?
Scared.
What else?
Nervous.
What else? Anxiety, right? What else? When you think of when someone's fearful, panic. What about paranoia? Where are my paranoia folks at, right? Hey, when I'm not doing right, I get paranoid. You know Pastor Eric's doing something wrong if he's paranoid, right? But that's not what God wants from us. God doesn't want us to be scared of him. He doesn't want us to be paranoid of him. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety. And I think that sometimes we have a view of God that maybe the world pushes into us. But tonight, God doesn't want us to fear him. What God wants is for us to have reverent respect for him. When you look at that word fear translated in the Bible, this is what it means. It's a feeling of reverence, awe, and respect, or an unpleasant emotion caused by a sense of danger. Fear may be directed toward God or man, and it may be either healthy or harmful. But the type of fear that God wants us to have towards him is not fright, but he wants us to have reverence. And the word reverence is a feeling, gesture, and attitude of deep, profound respect. And when we look at what the writer was doing here, he was referring to a type of attitude that he believed people should have towards a holy God. And I say that because there's some things that we should strive to do, right? When we have worship, we're not singing songs just to sing songs. We are giving worship that he's worth. We are expressing what's in our heart and giving God glory to his name. Worship is not a time where we just sit here, we drink our coffee, we look at our phones, or we eat our food. And I got to say that, and brother, I'll be honest. You got to help me with this, and the ushers, like, we want to change some things. I think it was my drummer. He was telling me, he's like, you know, I sit up here, and I could see everything, and he was telling me, you know, I was And we were getting into worship, and the power of God was here. And if it was you, I don't know if it was you or not. He didn't tell me who it was. But he was like, man, and I seen people sitting in the back row literally with the bag of food and spoons, and they were just eating, not even acknowledging that the power of God was in the sanctuary. Right? And they see that culture is built off of what you value and what you allow. If we say we value worship, but we allow people to just do what they want and create the culture that makes them feel comfortable, then we got a problem in our hands. Right? I'm not saying that I want a strict culture. I'm not saying that I want you walking around like a Pharisee and telling everyone, get that coffee out. I'm not saying I don't want that. But what I do want is a church that acknowledges when the king and the majesty has arrived, everything stops because he's worth it. Are you hearing me? I think we're in the day and age where people have lost respect for God. I believe that we're in a day and age where God wants to move. And sometimes, who's ever been there where you're like, God, where are you? Wave at me. Right? I'm like, God, where are you? Right? I'm doing what I'm supposed to, but I don't feel you. Maybe it's not that. No one ever said anything that faith had everything to do with feeling. And I think that sometimes we identify with God based off of how we feel, but it's not about how I feel. It's about my faith, my trust, and my belief in who I know him to be. That's why when we sing songs like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, are we really welcoming him here? I don't know about you, but there are demons that really mess with me. I got some past hurts, some old ways of life that constantly try to tempt my life and try to take me back to who I used to be. And I know that I could only, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be a holy man and live up to what God has for my life. But it can only happen with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, when I sing songs like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere, I can't sing it half-heartedly. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. All hell's breaking loose at my house. Truth be told, there's suicidal thoughts at my house. Truth be told, no one gets along at my house. Truth be told, I'm anxious when I go to work. But come flood this place and feel. Let me take a selfie. Right? When you're desperate and you truly need something, there's a spirit of humility that should come forth. I'm not asking you to do anything that's outside of your character that doesn't make you feel comfortable, but I will say this. When you start thinking of God, this is why, like, before we prayed, I said, I want you for a few seconds, I want you to think of heaven for a second. And I asked you to think about God, because I don't know about you, but man, when I get to heaven and I see the majesty of his glory, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right? You making sense? Let me move forward. And excuse me, because again, I was going to preach something totally different, but I'm having to look at the notes on my phone. In ancient times, when people walked in the presence of a king, they would kneel as a sign of respect. And let me tell you the generation we're dealing with today. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to what God is telling the priests. This is a conversation he's having with the leadership of the church. The people that he was addressing in the scripture I'm about to read to you were people who had slowly lost respect for God. And here God comes down and he confronts them. And by looking at this dialogue, I think we can learn something from him. Let me read it to you real quick. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. This is what the Bible says. Here God is speaking to his people. He says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if a man, a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. Now watch this. He says this to the leadership and the priests. Now listen to their response. He said, he tells them, yet you say, In what way have we despised your name? They didn't even know they were being disrespectful for God. And you know this because here God comes to him and he says, hey, listen, doesn't a father have honor? Where's my honor? Doesn't a master have reverence? God is coming to these men that are leading the church and he says, well, if a master has reverence, how come I don't have reverence? And then they look at him and they say, well, how? How did we despise your name? And listen to what God tells them. God says, I'm glad that you asked. He says this, in what way have we defiled you by saying, and this is what the Bible says, the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, it is not evil. In other words, what they were doing during that time, they were supposed to bring a perfect lamb. They were supposed to offer God something that was unblemished. But what they started to do, because they started cutting corners, they started offering animals that had defects. They had offered animals that were blind. God didn't ask them for that, but they started cutting corners and they started lacking respect. And God says, you despise my name by bringing contentment to my table. You ever heard that saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Right, when you get comfortable with something over time, you become contempt. And God forbid that our church be a church that doesn't understand the presence of the Lord. God forbid that the power of the Holy Spirit is here and the answer to your breakthrough, the answer, the cure to your disease is found at this altar, but we're too preoccupied with what we're going to eat and who we want to talk to that we miss our blessing. On that Wednesday, you were supposed to get healed, but because we were preoccupied with everything else, we missed it. Are you hearing me? Did you know that sometimes we can delay our blessings? Right? Listen, you know me. I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, but I feel very strongly, church, if we don't make some adjustments, if we don't make some changes, we're going to stay stuck. And come 2020, we'll be in the same exact spot. I'm not talking about coming to church to ease your conscience. Sometimes we do that, right? I got to come to church because, man, I haven't been there for a while. Or I got to come to church because, man, you know, I feel better about myself. No. You come to church because you want God. You come to church because you're pausing from the world. You're gonna fellowship with the community of believers that also believes in what you believe. And as a result, not only will you be strengthened, but you'll possibly hear a word from the Lord. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we can become real casual and nonchalant in our relationship with God. But I just want to remind the church, listen, we serve a holy God. Our God didn't just die on the cross, didn't get beaten and mangled, and he didn't endure the worst gruesome death for the forgiveness of my sins for me to be nonchalant. Are you hearing me? I have a family today because of what he did. I woke up this morning because of what he did. Some of you met my father. My father is serving the Lord, a chronic alcoholic for over 20 years, who is now healed and loves his family. I hated my dad. God healed that relationship. Why? On the cross, he endured for my sake. And God forbid that I ever forget that he was him that restored that relationship. And as a result, I just want to love on God. I just want to praise God. I want to tell him thank you. And I want to live the best of my ability to glorify your name. This isn't a show, right? You guys know me. The man that you see me preach, I'm here. That's who I am when you have a conversation with me. I throw the same jokes. Things don't change. Some of you see me, I get crazy with my kids too. Come on, somebody. Right? Hey, don't do that, right? We're all trying to get closer to God and become who he's called us to be. There's nobody perfect here. Being reverent doesn't mean being judgmental. It just means we know that when the presence of God is here, everything stops. Are you hearing me? I'll end here because what I want to do tonight is I want to take a good 20 minutes to just pray. I don't know about you, but you ever focus on yourself and just realize, man, I got issues. Who's ever been there? Right? I need God in my situation. My family needs the Lord. Right? And that's what Wednesdays is going to be all about. And I want to challenge you to take your worship to the next level on Wednesdays. For the next few Wednesdays, the whole month of February, we're literally going to come and we're going to have different worship leaders come and they're just going to play, they're going to sing, and we're going to pray, we're going to worship God, and we're going to get closer. It's not always about the word. Sometimes it's about being still. Here's Job at the end of his life, and I end with this. Job, who went through a lot, he lost his family, he lost everything. And in the midst of his struggle and his anguish, at the end of his life, he says, in Job 28, 27 and 28, then when he had done all this, he saw wisdom and measured it. He established it and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake or to turn from evil is real understanding. Listen, church, I feel strongly to preach a message like this tonight is because, look, Jesus is coming back. The more that I read, the more that I see in the news, I mean, the prophecies are being fulfilled. The prophecy of the great revival has yet to come, but you know what makes me feel it's going to happen soon? There can only be revival once something has died. And I would dare to say that if you look at our country, we're divided. And I would dare to say that we have lost reverent respect. We were once a nation under God. My kids have been coming. I'm glad to hear that too. That they come back to school and my kids know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, right? Remember we used to stand, we sit, right? And I love it because I heard my kids say, one nation under God. We were trying to take that out of our schools. Kids really can't even pray in our schools. And I say that to say this, before there can be a great revival, something almost has to be dead. And I would dare to say that the reverent respect that God desires in our country is almost not there. And if the church doesn't wake up and we don't learn, we can be left behind. And I don't want my church to be a dead church. I want my church to understand the presence of God. That's why we come on Wednesdays. What is our mission? We want to reach the unchurched. We want to help people develop a closer relationship with God. Well, how are we going to do that? By providing a Wednesday night where you can come and pray. And we want to spread the gospel. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. The reason the scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is because it speaks of our humanity accepting God's teaching. When we come to a place where we have respect for the word of God in our lifestyle, it's wisdom because we've now, in our actions, have said, I believe this word to be true. And tonight, listen, we're just going to take some time. You can go ahead and play the music. I'm going to say a prayer, and then what I'm going to ask you to do is just find a place. You can sit in your seat. You can come to the altar. You can stand. But listen, church, let's pray for our families. Let's pray for our neighbors. Let's pray for our coworkers. Let's pray for those that you know are not doing good. And let's believe God to truly change their lives and help them wherever they're at. Let's pray. Father,